Pastor already mentioned we were missionaries in Russia for 3 years, and then we went to Cambodia and worked with the Johnsons for 15 years, and now we're in South Africa, and we've been there for about 3 years. Most of our ministries there have been in the helps, we started Bible institutes and Bible colleges, and now in the South Africa, we have a technical school trying to help the nationals, working with the church plant that Brother Graham has started, getting people saved through the technical school. So we've been a lot in helps, trying to help out in different ways that we can. Hopefully everyone in here, I assume everyone in here is in the ministry, since you go to Baptist College of Ministry. I assume that you're heading that direction. And there are all types of different ministries to be involved in. There's the pastorate, obviously, and evangelist, but there's a lot more besides that. And that's part of our ministry, is education, teaching, and helping in different ways. And no matter what kind of ministry the Lord has you involved in, there's always a tendency to do it in the flesh, to not respond, not to do it in the spirit, especially when you're tired, especially when things aren't going the right way, when you get frustrated. There's a tendency to not depend on the Holy Spirit, to just depend on your own works, not saying you're going to get saved by works, but that you're depending on your own strength, your own abilities, instead of relying on the Holy Spirit. And there are three main reasons why this is not a good thing to do, okay, or why it's very bad. John 15:4 tells us that we need to abide in him. It says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except that it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So when we do things in the flesh, we're not going to be able to produce spiritual fruit. Walking in the flesh is obviously not abiding in Christ, and therefore there's no spiritual fruit that we can see. That we're going to see numbers. We might see more people come to church. We might see people make professions of faith, but that's not real fruit. That's plastic fruit. You know, how good is plastic fruit? It's not very good, is it? You take a bite into it and you realize that it's not what you were anticipating. And so we don't want that kind of fruit. We want spiritual fruit. Second, it brings no eternal benefit. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15 warns us, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And you might give all of your strength, all of your effort into a certain ministry and a certain thing that you're doing. But when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, when you bring that time, those things before Christ at his throne, it will be all burned up. It will all disappear. And that will be sad for you to spend all of that time, all of that energy in the church, serving the church, and find out that you have nothing to show for it as far as eternity is concerned. Third of all, it doesn't please God. When we work in the flesh, it doesn't please God. Hebrews 11:6 makes it clear, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Working in the flesh is not working in faith. You aren't depending on God with the goal of glorifying him, but you are working in the flesh, being consumed by something else, whether it be of pride or jealousy or bitterness or weariness or something else besides for God's glory. And it's easy to do that. It's easy to, get bitter about something, feeling like you're not getting the recognition that you believe that you deserve. So it's easy to do that. But our purpose here on this earth, as I mentioned last night in the men's devotional, is to glorify God with our lives. That's it. That's why we're here. And we can't do that if we're serving in the flesh, no matter how many or no matter what your mouths might say. I want to look at an example this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we'll be looking at verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Most of you are familiar with this story. It's a story of Martha. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." So we see here, Jesus comes and to Martha and Mary's house, and obviously he's there and teaching, and Mary is there at Jesus' feet. Martha's busy doing different things. And we can see by Martha's response that her heart was not right. It tells us that she was cumbered. And I'm not going to impress you with my Greek, because I don't know very much Greek. I never went to school for Greek, and all of you probably have Greek, or you're on your way to learning Greek. But the word cumbered means to be drawn around, or to be drawn away, to be distracted, to be driven about mentally, to be distracted from something, to be overly occupied, to be too busy about something. And that's what Martha's result was, or what she was involved in at that time. Martha was busy serving everyone else while Mary was sitting listening to Jesus. Martha was obviously frustrated with Mary. She wanted her to help her. She was probably running around like a chicken with its head cut off, trying to get, you know, you got a lot of people there at that time. Who knows, at least, you know, 13, 14 extra people, maybe hundreds of people were there. And so Martha's busy trying to get everything done. And Mary's just sitting there. And Martha's getting more and more frustrated and thinking, this isn't fair. Why am I doing all the work? And Mary's just sitting there, and she should be helping me. Have you ever had that experience before? Where you feel like, hey, why am I doing all the work? You know, I'm busy doing this, and I'm busy doing that, and, you know, that person's just sitting around doing nothing, or they get the benefit of listening while I have to do all the work. Please don't take the story the wrong way. I think a lot of people say, well, I'm a Mary and I'm a Martha. And I think there are people that are more workers. I believe I'm more of a Martha type person. I'm busy doing things. I work behind the scenes. But I don't think that's the point of the lesson here. I think the point of the lesson here is that Martha was being distracted. Her heart was not right. It wasn't where it was supposed to be during this time. We need people to do all the background stuff. We need people to be sitting in the nurseries and working in the different areas of the church, of the ministries that we're involved in. But here we see that she's showing that her heart is not where it needs to be. Probably Martha could have been listening too. I don't know. I don't know the situation there. Maybe she could have been serving and listening at the same time. Or maybe she could have waited a little bit before she started serving everyone. I don't know what the situation was. But we do need helpers. We do need workers. And we just need to make sure that we're doing it in the right heart attitude. So how do we stop from this happening to us? How do we keep us from serving in the flesh instead of serving in the spirit? Well, it starts with a right relationship with God. making sure that we're keeping our relationship with him right. Just like Martha, many in the ministry get so busy with the work that they feel that they are too busy to spend time with God. How do you start every day? I mean, are you thinking about, okay, I got to get my schoolwork done. I got to prepare for a test. I got to get my homework done for today. And so you kind of skip your devotions. You skip the time with God that you need to be spending. One survey said that the average pastor only spends 7 minutes a day praying. Another said that 80% of the pastors surveyed spend less than 15 minutes a day praying. That's not enough time, is it? Okay. Andrew Murray said, time spent in prayer will yield more than that given to work. Prayer alone gives work its worth and its success. Prayer opens the way for God himself to do his work in and through us. And so if we're skipping prayer, if we're skipping that time with God, everything will be in the flesh. Okay, we won't see this fruit that we need to. There are countless missionaries and pastors. Probably you've read stories of pastors or missionaries that started out their ministry and it seemed like they were working hard but weren't seeing any fruit. And then one day it dawned on them and they started to spend time with God more in prayer, and that's when they saw the fruit. After they realized that they needed to depend on God and not do it so much in the flesh. It is a oneness with Christ. And that's the abiding that is talked about in John 15. We need to be abiding in him, one with him, in order to see the fruit that we want to bear, or that God wants us to bear. God doesn't work in the same way in this dispensation that he did during the Old Testament period. I'm sure many of you realize that. But we can see a very important truth from the life of Job. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. And that's what we want to do. We want to see Christ. We want to have that personal relationship with him. Not just something that, you know, okay, yeah, I know Jesus. I know about him. I do my prayers every day. I go through all of the rituals that I need to. And, you know, we want to know him personally. And that's really the only way that we're going to be able to have the fruit that we need to have. Job had a new understanding of God as he spent this time with God. Probably an experience that nobody has had since then, but I think we can have an experience like that. We can have that kind of relationship with God if we spend the time. C.S. Lewis said, in worship, God imparts himself to us. There will be times that things seem unfair, just like with Martha. And it might, logically, you might go through and you say, yes, it's, you know, that's not right. You talk to somebody else and they'll say, yeah, that's not fair. But it doesn't matter. It's for our good, okay? God works it all out for our good. God has a plan and a purpose. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so we just need to take whatever the situation is, and we need to realize that God has a purpose for that. We must focus on Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:1-4 reminds us, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So we need to be constantly focusing on Christ, constantly keeping him at the forefront of our minds. And the goal of our lives is to please him. Verse 4 tells us what our point of submission should be, right? You have not yet resisted unto blood, or blood striving against sin. That should be our goal. We're willing to lay down our lives for Jesus Christ. Again, you know, all these menial things that we get frustrated with and we get discouraged with, that should not, you know, be something that we allow to fester in our lives, so something that we continuously think about. We need to make sure that we're not cumbered like Martha was cumbered, okay? Being distracted from what the real goal should be in life. 2 Peter 1:2-3 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and to virtue." And so we need to, here it says very clearly that our peace comes from God, from that right relationship with God. We're not going to be cumbered. We're not going to be frustrated if we keep him at the front of our mind, if we keep him as the thing that we're constantly thinking about. See, it talks about, again, in verse 2, that through the knowledge, how do we get grace and peace? Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Through our constantly thinking about him and studying him and praying to him. It's great that we have an hour of prayer. But what kind of, if you are spending that hour of prayer, what is that prayer life like, though? Is it just a ritual? It needs to be time that you're meditating on God. You're praying, you're in communion and fellowship with God. Okay, it's better, you know, I would never tell you not to pray an hour. I think it's good to pray for an hour. But it's better to pray 15 minutes and having that right relationship with God, have that fellowship with God, than praying an hour and not really just going through the words. It has to be a good time of fellowship with him, okay? Not just going through the motions. It's a this thing that we have, this grace and peace that comes with to us from the Lord, is that personal knowledge based on experience and closeness to God, not intelligence. It's not an intellectual knowledge, but more of an experiential knowledge that we must have. And again, this time can only be gotten from spending time with God. God has given us everything we need to serve him with. It tells us that here in these verses as well. God that hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's there waiting for us. But we have to spend the time with God that we need to be. And not just doing things out of the flesh. It's easy to get caught in that. Trust me. I've had many times that I've experienced that personally, where I get involved in the ministry. I get going in the ministry. And you start working in the flesh, and it doesn't produce fruit.